Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as always, for those of you who are in the LA area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including those right here in the absolutely gorgeous and wonderful San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free call-in number is 877-697-9725. Producer Kina will be opening up the chat room, so you can go in there, hang out, tell her hi. And I will be logging into the chat room after the show for any questions, comments, or concerns. So today, we're going to be talking about the right tool for the right job. And we each have our own way of dealing with events that affect our lives. And while some of those coping mechanisms may work really well, others can actually create more problems than they solve. And so today we're going to be looking at the survival tools that we reach for and exploring how we can choose the right tool for the right job. Now, depending on what it is that we encounter, you know, if it's something that we really enjoy or even if it's something that is really very hard, the way we react is like reaching into a toolkit to be able to do a job. You have a nail that needs to be hammered in. You can reach into the toolkit and take out a hammer. You can also reach into the toolkit and take out a screwdriver, which I suppose you could make it work, but it's not the right tool for the job, and ultimately it's going to make the job a lot harder than it needs to be. So as we look at considering the events in our lives, those moments that come in that create emotion in us, that will stir up a feeling of happiness, sadness, fear, anger, whatever, think of each of those events as a do-it-yourself project. So as you look at a do-it-yourself project, the first thing usually in most cases that we figure out is, all right, what is it that I want the end product to be? Do I want to build a birdhouse? And if so, what are the tools that I'm going to need in order to accomplish that? Say one of your tools is a lawnmower. While it is a tremendously effective tool, I don't think it's really key in building a birdhouse. And as you look at what you need to achieve your ultimate goal, these are things that it's a good idea to consider when we're faced with stressful situations. Let's say, as an example, you're dealing with stress in a relationship. Is the lawnmower the best thing to choose? Do you want to pick some, pick an approach that is big, bulky, and just kind of tears through everything? Well, that is a way to respond. Some people respond to relationship conflicts with anger. Some of them respond by withdrawing. And while those two are perfectly reasonable tools, is it the best tool for the job? If there's a conflict in a relationship, normally it is best to figure out what it is that the conflict is really about, because it may not be about what, what is on the surface. Oh my gosh, you squeeze the toothpaste from the center of the tube. More than likely, that's not the conflict. The conflict may be, I've asked you to do something and you don't do it and I feel disrespected and it hurts my feelings. So what would be an appropriate tool to take out of the toolkit to deal with this particular project? I want to communicate better so that this person understands what it is that is hurtful to me. Okay, how about we pull out the tool of listening? How about we pull out the tool of empathy? how about we pull out the tool of being able to see that other person's perspective? Maybe it's just that they always squeeze the tube from the center. Ever since they were a child, they were always told to squeeze the tube from the center. So it's something we don't really think about. And when we are faced with situations that once we take off all the layers, it's just that our feelings were hurt or that we're scared about something. We can figure out what the right tool is, because if we look at the goal of the project to be, I feel respected and I feel safe that my feelings are not going to be hurt and that my feelings are going to be acknowledged, well, there's a lot of tools that can help with that. And there's a lot of tools that may be the first one you reach for, which is, okay, well, I squeeze the tube from the center, but you keep throwing the towels on the floor. And then it becomes a tennis match, one lob after another, of things that really have nothing to do with what the real issue is. So diversion is a tool that can be used. Well, you're accusing me of something, so therefore I'm going to accuse you of something else. And that way I can get you on the defensive. Totally acceptable tool? Yes. But does it get you what you want, or does it create more problems? Does it create more resistance to communication? And sometimes if the real heart of it is something that is, you know, just goes into a scary place, it goes into a hard place, well, if I really open up about this, maybe we'll break up. So you stick with the diversion, instead of having a real conversation. And I don't say this because it's easy, because I know that those real conversations can be tremendously hard and tremendously scary, especially if each side is totally sure that the relationship can survive it. Then you go into fear. Well, I don't want us to break up, so I'm going to divert to something else that is less important, that is less close to my heart. This can also relate to situations where maybe we want to change our health. Maybe we want to quit smoking or lose weight or you know, whatever, you know, have less stress in your life, exercise more. All of these become projects, and certain tools will be able to help you through that. If you want to change your weight, either to gain weight or to lose weight, there are certain tools that you can pull out of the toolkit. As someone who has struggled with my weight since I had children, when I'm stressed, I get hungry. And so the idea of losing weight, which in itself can be stressful, you reach those points where, okay, I'm not feeling good, I'm not feeling safe, I'm reaching for the French fries. So for me, the tool that I used to pull out of my toolkit was French fries and crunchy, salty things and fried chicken. I really, really like fried food. So the idea that those were the tools I pulled out of my toolkit to help me feel better, were they, you know, reasonable tools? Yes. Unfortunately, I was using them in a way that did not get me what I wanted. Because then afterwards, I would berate myself, I would feel bad, and that didn't help my stress. Sometimes people will reach for alcohol. Sometimes they will reach for drugs. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when they're stressed out, they simply lash out, draw, and can't deal with anything. Which adds an interesting piece to it, because if you have someone, you know, two people who, you know, one of whom their favorite tool when stress comes is to withdraw, and the other person, when they're stressed out, their favorite tool to reach towards is, you know, demanding attention or anger, you've got two people using their tools, and the tools are at cross purpose. It's sort of like, you know, one person is on one end of a leaky boat using a bucket to bail things out, and the other one is on the other end drilling holes thinking that the water will drain out. So it is possible that our tools can definitely create issues in relationship. And, you know, back to the idea of changing, you know, how you look, of, you know, let's just stick with losing weight tool, maybe if they're in a relationship with someone, is to constantly berate them and point out every time that they indulge in something they don't need, or to take food from them, or all of those things, where in their mind they're being supportive, in their mind they're helping the person to be strong. But in the mind of the person experiencing it, they're being bullied, they're being picked on, and they're having their weaknesses pointed out. In both cases, the goal of the project is the same, but the way they're going about it is completely, you know, in opposition to each other. And especially in relationships, it's very important to be able to find those common grounds to define what it is that will be helpful and what it is that won't be helpful, and then create the blueprint of finishing the project based on that, where both parties are involved in creating the game plan and figuring out what in that moment works. And sometimes it comes down to just being able to say, the best way you can help me right now is, and let the person know what it is that you need in order to reach whatever it is that you need to reach. And really, in health, and as a doctor, I work with people in a combination. It's a team effort. You know, we are collaborating on what that person's ultimate goal is. And in some cases where it's a person who wants to gain weight, it's also very important to be in collaboration, to be able to say, okay, this is what you want, and here is the research that shows how that could happen. Here are the tools that you can implement in order to be able to do this in a really good way. And making sure that the tools not only fit the job, but fit the person. If a tool is not right or doesn't feel right for the person who's involved in the project, they're not going to use the tool. It'd be, okay, you know, I want you to nail in this little tiny nail, and here's a sledgehammer. Like, okay, well, a hammer works, but a sledgehammer, maybe the person can't lift it. Maybe it's too powerful for them. Maybe it's unwieldy. So the tool needs to fit the person as much as the tool needs to fit the goal. If someone needs help to overcome some type of an addiction, figuring out what the tool is for that person to be able to move past it. In some cases, it's, you know, give it up cold turkey. In other cases, it's going through support groups. But figuring out what the right tool is for the person and for the project is going to be able to move the process along a whole lot easier and a whole lot more gently. And it really comes down to asking questions and then listening to the answer. Some people have as a tool in their toolkit when things go wrong that they just want to vent. They don't want to have somebody fix it. They don't want suggestions, don't want responses. They just want someone to bear witness to their, you know, 10, 15-minute, hour rant. Usually I only agree to listen for an hour. It's like, okay, after that you're just circling the airport and then we move on. But listening to somebody get something off their chest and then waiting to see if they want a response. And if this is a difficult thing to do, if it's a difficult space to hold, to just listen to somebody go off and not try to fix it, if that's tough for you, then let them know. Say, you know what, I really don't think I'm the right person to bear witness for this. Let's find somebody who can do it better than I can. And it really is about being honest with yourself and being honest with the other person. And as we look at all the tools that we have available to us, figuring out how to move the tools that are best for us, that give us the best outcome, to the top of the toolbox. You know, the, you know, those toolboxes, they usually have like the top layer and then they've got a layer below. And really what you want are the things that you are going to use, the things, your go-to tools are going to be the ones that are closest to hand. If you choose to go with the tools, say, that may create more of a problem, you know, in my case, you know, fried food, french fries, things like that, that tool was at the top of my toolbox. I had to make a conscious choice. No, that goes to the bottom level of the toolbox. I have to put something else, you know, because it's not just about removing that particular tool. It's about finding something else to put there that I can reach for without thinking. And that's really one of the tricky parts, is to bring into your life, incorporate a coping mechanism, incorporate a survival technique that is going to be become just that unconscious, I'm going to reach for that and it's going to work. Things like that could be taking a breath, going outside, walking away from the situation for a little bit. You know, if you're craving something, then finding something else that you can have that you can substitute. Yeah, it's okay, I can't have the french fries that I want, and I could bake some sweet potatoes, you know, slice up some sweet potatoes and bake that with some olive oil and put a little bit of garlic or whatever on that. And, yeah, that could be a reasonable substitute. Finding a way to incorporate the new tools, and it takes a while for it to become a habit. It takes a while for it to become second nature, to become that thing you do without thinking. And once you do, the pattern is set. The new tool is there. You utilize it in a good way. It gets you the results you want without having to go through the anxiety of, wow, I've got to choose this better thing, or I've got to choose differently. And once you get into the habit of it, it actually becomes really, really easy. And some things are trickier. Some things take a little bit more work than others. And for those aspects that have a physical piece to the addiction, there is that detoxing phase that you have to go through. There is that releasing of the physical need and the physical addiction to it. You know, it's not just, well, if I set my mind to it, I could be able to choose differently. It doesn't work that way. You know, not at first. And it's not about, if I fail at it, I don't have, my will is weak, and that I'm not a strong person, and that I'm not a good person. Those are all stories that, you know, I mean, if you want it, you have every right. Are they the stories that really help serve? Are they the stories that move you forward? So as you look at those things in your life, if there's something in your life that you really wish you handled in a different way, wow, I really wish that I could take a step back when I'm really angry and not just lose it. You know, I really wish that I could stand up for myself, and if somebody speaks loud, that I don't just cringe and try to go hide in a corner. I would like to be able to speak my truth. These are all things that become a part of our toolkit that we can shift bit by bit. You know, break it down. It's not that you have to, you know, stand up and, you know, become eloquent and determined, you know, right out of the chute. Maybe you talk to other people. Talk to people who demonstrate that quality that you would like, and ask them how they did it, because pretty much they had to figure out a way to make it happen. You know, with a lot of qualities, with a lot of things, when, you know, we see somebody, it's like, wow, I really wish I could exercise like them, or I really wish I could be a public speaker like that person, or I really wish I could be as spiritual and grounded as this person. Pretty much, they had to learn it. They didn't start out that way. They had to muddle through the dark and stinky. They had to muddle through being, you know, that growing work of art, that unfinished project. And then they figured out, okay, I can put these pieces together. And this is how they become that. You know, it's one thing when people who are artists and people who are writers and people who want to do certain things. You know, if you're a writer, you're going to compare yourself to, you know, all the famous writers. It's like, wow, you know, and Stephen King, and I could never write like that, or Ray Bradbury, you know, I could never write like that, and Isaac Asimov, or J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, who is my personal favorite. It's no good comparing yourself to them when they're at the top. Try comparing yourself to them when they first started and when they couldn't get anything sold, when they had to learn about their skill. That's the point. When you're starting off, find out what these folks were like when they were starting off. What inspired them? What helped move them forward? What were the steps they took? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from whatever it is that someone else did. And then incorporate those steps. You know, if you meet up with somebody and, you know, they were really heavy and you look at them, it's like, oh my gosh, you've lost all this weight. How great, how wonderful. And, you know, the question becomes, how'd you do it? And people love to talk about themselves. They love to talk about, you know, if they accomplished something that really was important to them, yeah, they're going to want to talk about it and say, hey, you know, if you want to do this, this is how I did it. Now, does that mean you have to do it exactly as they did? No. And a way of knowing a way to reach a goal. Those were the tools that they used to reach their goal. And then you find out if the tools apply to you, if they are the appropriate tool. Well, I lost weight because, you know, I hired a personal trainer and spent thousands of dollars on personal training and exercising every single day, and I hired a personal chef who cooked all my meals, and they were all absolutely healthy. Those are wonderful ways. Is that going to work for everybody? You know, most of us cannot afford to do that. And being able to go, okay, I can't, you know, hire a personal trainer, but I can meet up with friends who, you know, may be able to help me out. You know, if I can't afford a gym membership, maybe I can start walking with, you know, some friends at work. And, you know, we go out during lunch and maybe we walk around the building. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be, well, it has to be that way in order for it to succeed, because that's what succeeded for them. That's what worked for them. Figure out what works for you. Figure out what it is that you really want your goal to be. Well, I want to be a size 4. Okay, you want to be a size 4. What is it that means to you? Well, that means I'm going to be smaller and I will feel better about myself and I will be able to fit small clothes and people will smile at me. And it's like, okay, so you want to be able to feel more confident. You want to be able to feel comfortable in your own skin. And understanding that completing a project is just that, completing a project. Well, if I'm a size 4, then I won't have any problems. Well, unfortunately, that's not true. You may have different problems, but to figure that, okay, if I meet this, it's going to change my entire life and I will never have a problem again. Not true. I know a lot of people who are very spiritual and, you know, it's just so wonderful to have them in my lives, to, you know, be able to work with them and learn from them and have them learn from me. And it's this wonderful cooperative thing. But no matter how spiritual that people I have known have been, they still struggle with getting irritated. They still struggle with those moments when, you know, we're a little less spiritual than others. And that's a part of the human condition. We are constantly in a state of working on finding balance. And it doesn't mean that we failed at anything, because we have moments that are a little bit less balanced than others. It just means we have an opportunity to learn from them. We have an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to refine what we view ourselves as. And in most cases, you know, we are our own worst critics. We can also be our greatest champion. We can also be the one to say, you know what, we're going to be cut slack. I am not going to judge myself poorly, you know, based on a choice I make in a moment. Because all it is a choice that you make in a moment. Let yourself off the hook for the tool that you choose, because ultimately it's not good, it's not bad. It's just a choice. And if by making a particular choice that doesn't work out the way you had hoped, allow yourself the freedom to be able to say, okay, I chose that tool out of the toolkit, I can choose another. Can find the right tool for the job. And each and every one of us can. And if we need help with it, then we need help with it. We get guidance. We get advice. We don't need somebody telling us what to do, but we can have somebody say, hey, I was in a similar situation. This is what I did. And that allows you to decide how to create the tool that you want to create to be able to finish the project that you want to finish. And just really understand that we are all, you know, works in progress. No matter what we achieve, there's always something to gain, always something to learn, and there's always going to be new opportunities to mess up. Just accept that every once in a while we're going to mess up, and then we learn from it, and we move on. We, you know, don't consider reaching a size 4 or a size 14 to be the of-all and end-all. It's just merely a milestone. It's finishing one project so you can start on another. You let the project go, wow, that turned out, you know, pretty good. All right, what's the next thing? Because everything is about moving to the next step. Everything is about moving forward in our lives. And in some cases, messing up, figuring out we messed up, and then going, okay, now I have more tools because I have more experiences. I consider the things that I messed up on probably among the most valuable experiences that I've ever had because of how much I learned from it. Because it became, wow, I am not going to do it again that way. I'm going to do it another way. And maybe that doesn't work out. But as I narrow down and as I slowly get to the point where it's like, no, wait a minute, I've got this one. I've got this figured out. So like putting together a puzzle, once you do it the first time, and then you start getting into the habit of it, and then it's like, you just pick it up, boom, 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 and you're done. And then you move on to another puzzle. And you start over again. And you figure it out. And you get in that place of allowing yourself to have that patience. It'll work. It can work. And no matter what tool you use, because it's what you want to be able to choose in that moment. Don't let the tool jump out of the toolkit. Don't just grab anything that's there. Choose the tool because it's the right tool for the job. So I want to thank you for joining me on another Thursday. I will be back next week. And for those of you who'd like to find out more about me, you can go to my website at www.the-healing-house.com. And there's events coming up, and it's just really, there's a lot of fun things that I have coming up. So join me for whatever it is. If you're in the Bay Area, please feel free. And otherwise, you can reach me at healinghouseradio, email address, at the-healing-house.com. You can also like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. So until next time, I wish you balance, I wish you blessings, and I wish you the right tool for the right job and a wonderful, amazing project that will really bring you balance and make your life a happy one. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.